All right, so you want us to break down Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's jam-packed with advice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the title kind of gives it away, right?
Totally.
But we're not just going to summarize it. We want to dig out the real gems.
Yeah, the stuff that sticks with you.
The tips and stories that actually make a difference.
The stuff that'll make you think, oh, okay, I can use that.
Exactly.
This book, you know, it was more than just a bestseller.
It
was like a cultural phenomenon. It came out almost a century ago, and people still, like, swear by it. So today, let's see if we can figure out why it's so powerful.
Okay.
What is it about this book that just connects with people on such a deep level?
I'm in. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Get ready for some surprises. Yeah. We're talking stories about people like Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, yeah.
Unexpected ways to handle those tough conversations.
Oh.
And best of all, practical things you can try out today.
Right away.
I'm pumped.
Let's dive right in with one of the most memorable examples Carnegie uses.
Okay.
The story of Two Gun Crowley.
Two Gun Crowley. Okay, how notorious are we talking? I'm picturing like a black and white gangster film.
Think even more intense. This guy, he was a cop killer on the FBI's most wanted list.
Wow.
And even when he was facing, you know, the electric chair, he wouldn't admit to anything.
Really?
He wrote a letter claiming he was innocent, that he was framed.
Whoa. Talk about self-deception. I mean, makes you wonder, right? Is that level of denial, like, more common than we think?
That's exactly what Carnegie wants us to see. He says that criticizing someone is like poking a beehive.
Oh, I get it.
You attack it, you're going to get stung. Most people, even criminals, have this need to like justify their actions.
It's like a defense mechanism.
Right.
Dang.
And it takes a lot of self-awareness to break that pattern.
So how do we, I don't know, deal with that? Like, how do we handle those situations where someone's obviously wrong?
Yeah.
But they just can't see it.
Well, Carnegie points to Abraham Lincoln as a master at understanding human nature.
Lincoln.
Interesting.
There's a story about how Lincoln was furious with General Meade after Meade failed to capture Lee's army during the Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a turning point in the war.
High stakes.
And Lincoln was so angry, he even wrote this scathing letter just ripping into Meade.
I bet. Can you imagine Lincoln letting you have it?
Oh, I can't even imagine.
So did he send it?
No.
Yeah.
Lincoln realized that publicly humiliating Meade, it wouldn't achieve anything.
Right.
So he didn't send it.
Smart move.
And later, he approached Meade with more understanding, you know.
Okay.
Focusing on how they could learn from it and move forward.
So choosing understanding over, like, condemnation.
Exactly.
That's a powerful lesson, especially for leaders. But honestly, for anyone who deals with difficult people, which is, well, all of us, right?
Right.
It makes you think, right? Carnegie says that if you want to succeed with people, it's all about working with their nature, not against it.
Yeah.
And that leads us to what he calls the big secret of influencing others.
Oh, I like secrets. Tell me more.
It's about getting people to do things.
Okay.
By making them want to do them.
Right. Now, that sounds intriguing. How do you make someone want to do something they might not naturally be inclined to do?
Well, Carnegie believes that the deepest urge in human nature is this desire to feel important.
I mean, that makes sense. We all want to feel like we matter.
Right. And you can see this reflected in the work of, you know, psychologists like Freud.
Oh, yeah.
Even philosophers like John Dewey.
Okay. But how do you, like, tap into that in a way that feels genuine?
Right. Not manipulative.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Carnegie gives some great examples. Remember the story about Uncle Andrew.
Refresh my memory.
He wanted to raise money from kids.
Okay.
So instead of just asking, he wrote each kid a letter.
Oh, I see.
Making them feel like they were a crucial part of something special.
And it worked.
Oh, yeah. The money came pouring in. Then there's the story of Stan Novak. Got his son excited for kindergarten.
Oh, that's a tough one. How'd he do that?
Not by focusing on rules and stuff, but by talking about all the fun activities he'd get to do.
Smart.
So it's about framing things in a way that appeals to the person's wants.
Mm.
It makes me think, you know, how often do we just try to push our own agenda without considering the other person's point of view?
All the time, probably.
Carnegie was big on seeing things from the other person's perspective. He even quotes Henry Ford.
What did Ford say?
If there's any one secret of success, it lies in the ability to get the other person's point of view.
Oh, that's good.
And see things from that person's angle as well as from your own.
That is a good one. It reminds me of something we all know we should do, but remembering people's names.
Right.
I mean, we all know we should, but how many of us actually put in the effort?
It's more powerful than we realize. Just using someone's name shows respect and makes them feel valued.
It's true.
Carnegie mentions Napoleon III.
Oh, wow. Going way back.
He was famous for remembering names. He had a whole system
Charlie.
for associating names with faces and personalities.
Man, I am terrible with names. Personal challenge right there. But I have noticed it feels good when someone remembers my name.
Oh, yeah,
Which
absolutely.
makes the interaction more, I don't know, positive, more connected.
And it's connected to another important principle, being a good listener.
Okay.
Carnegie was adamant that encouraging people to talk about themselves, it's key for building relationships.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it makes sense. When you listen to someone, you're showing them that they're worth listening
Like,
to.
yeah, great.
Plus, you learn more about them.
It's about making them feel important. Think about Jim Farley. He was this political figure who could remember the names of like 50,000 people.
50,000. Are you serious?
He said it was a huge part of his success.
That's incredible. But it highlights something, right?
Yeah.
It's not about flattery.
No.
It's about seeing the value in others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Genuine appreciation. And speaking of appreciation, Carnegie says it has to be sincere.
Okay.
It's not about throwing compliments around, but about recognizing what makes them special.
One of the stories that stuck with me, it was about this elderly aunt who gave her prized Packard, you know, those classic cars, to her nephew,
Oh, wow.
just because he genuinely appreciated her.
And all the things she had in her life.
Beautiful. It shows you how powerful sincere appreciation can be.
And the nephew wasn't trying to get anything out of it, you know? He just
Yeah.
valued his aunt.
Exactly. It wasn't about the car. And we see this in another story. James Adamson, he wanted to do business with George Eastman.
Eastman, the Kodak guy.
That's him. But instead of, you know, launching into a pitch, Adamson started by talking about how much he admired Eastman's office and his charity work.
So focusing on what Eastman cared about, I
Exactly.
bet that went well.
Oh, it did. Adamson got a great deal.
Yeah.
A&D became lifelong friends with Eastman.
Wow. So focusing on the other person, showing genuine appreciation, it can lead to some pretty amazing things. Absolutely. But here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Shifting our focus from ourselves to others, it's hard.
Oh, it is. It takes work.
It's way easier said than done.
Totally agree.
Ooh.
It makes you wonder, though, how do we use these ideas in those tougher situations?
Yeah.
Like when you're trying to win someone over to your side.
Ah, now that's where things get interesting. That's a whole other part of our deep dive into Carnegie's world. So you want to win someone over to your way of thinking.
That's the goal.
Carnegie, he actually gives some pretty surprising advice.
Really? Like what?
He says the best way to win an argument is to avoid
Really? Avoid
it.
arguments. That seems kind of counterintuitive,
Yeah.
especially coming from a guy who taught debating.
Right. I know. Maybe it's a case of those who can't do teach, you know? Just kidding. But seriously, he learned from experience.
Yeah.
Arguments, they rarely change anyone's mind.
Oh, I know that feeling. You just end up digging in deeper.
Exactly. So how do you persuade someone, you know, without arguing?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question.
Well, one of Carnegie's key principles is to respect the other person's opinion
Okay, respect.
and never tell them they're wrong.
Oh, that's hard. I'd like to be right.
I know, it's tough.
Yeah.
But he tells this story about a salesman, Patrick J. O'Hare.
Okay.
This guy completely turned his career around when he learned to agree with customers,
Even when they were complaining.
even when they were criticizing his product.
So instead of getting defensive, he found common ground.
Yeah, he'd acknowledge their point of view, and that helped him build rapport.
Interesting. It's like taking the wind out of their sails.
Right,
They're
yeah.
expecting a fight, and you don't give it to them. It throws them off,
It disarms them.
makes them more open to what you have to say.
Carnegie tells another great story about how he used this with a tax inspector.
A tax inspector. Those guys aren't known for being easygoing.
No, they're not. But this guy was being really stubborn. So instead of arguing, Carnegie decided to express appreciation.
You mean he complimented the tax man?
He even said he wished he had the inspector's job.
Whoa, bold move.
But it totally worked,
Wrong.
shifted the whole dynamic, turned a potential conflict into a pleasant interaction.
It's funny, you know, my instinct is always to push back when someone's being difficult.
Yeah, it's natural to want to fight
But
back.
Carnegie's saying you actually get further with honey.
That's right. And that brings us to another important point.
Okay.
If you have to criticize, start with praise.
Okay, so a little sugar before the medicine.
Exactly. Find something you genuinely admire before you address any issues.
Like a compliment sandwich.
You got it.
But what if you really need to point out a mistake?
Well, Carnegie, he actually suggests starting with your own mistakes.
Interesting.
He learned this from his niece, who was also his secretary.
Oh, okay.
He was getting frustrated with her work, but then he realized, hey, he was making just as many mistakes.
So, leading by example, showing humility.
Exactly. It helps create a more understanding environment. He also tells a story about this guy who was furious with the dry cleaner.
Oh no, what happened?
The dry cleaner had ruined his suit. The guy was ready to explode,
I've been.
but then he took a deep breath and decided to try a different approach.
I'm on the edge of my seat. What did he do?
He started by acknowledging that he'd made mistakes too, and then he asked the dry cleaner to share his side of the story.
Wow. I never would have thought to do that.
But it changed everything. The dry cleaner calmed down, admitted the mistake, and offered to fix the suit.
That's incredible, just by admitting his own fallibility.
It shows you the power of, we're all human.
We all mess up sometime.
Exactly. So you've acknowledged your own mistakes, you've created this like more receptive environment. What's next?
Lay it on me.
Now it's time to arouse enthusiasm, figure out what motivates the other person, and inspire them to take action.
Okay, so get them excited.
He has this really touching story about a father who was estranged from his son.
Oh, wow.
During a Dale Carnegie course, the father, he had this realization.
Yeah.
He needed to take responsibility for his actions, so he apologized to his son publicly.
That takes courage.
It does.
Did they reconcile?
They did. That apology, that willingness to change, it allowed them to rebuild their relationship.
That's a powerful
It
example.
is. It shows the power of owning your mistakes and showing genuine remorse.
Okay, so we see how these principles can work in personal relationships.
Yeah.
But what about in a professional setting?
Carnegie's got examples for that too. He talks about John D. Rockefeller Jr.
Oh,
during a really intense labor dispute.
wow.
He managed to calm everyone down, got them to go back to work.
How do you do that? I can't imagine diffusing something like that.
Instead of being adversarial,
Yeah.
he showed empathy, acknowledged the workers' concerns. He
Hey,
appealed to their sense of fairness.
and it worked.
It did.
That's some serious emotional intelligence, especially in a high-pressure situation like that.
It shows that even when things are tough, you can still find common ground.
If you approach it the right way.
Exactly. With understanding and respect.
It reminds me of that saying, pick your battles. It's not about giving in all the time.
Right.
It's about knowing when to stand firm and when to find a solution that works for everyone.
Exactly. Look for win-win solutions whenever you can. And that leads us to another fascinating principle:
All ready?
leading without giving orders.
Wait, how do you lead without giving orders?
Carnegie, he argues that asking questions, it's way more effective than giving commands.
Huh. I've definitely worked with people who are better at guiding than demanding.
He talks about this businessman, Owen D. Young.
Okay.
He was known for leading by suggestion.
Interesting.
He believed in empowering people to think for themselves.
So it's more about nudging people in the right direction.
Right, rather
Yeah.
than controlling every step.
That makes a lot of sense.
And Carnegie, he also talks about the importance of letting people save face. Oh, right. He mentioned that before.
Even when they've messed up,
Yeah.
it's about preserving their dignity.
It seems like a really crucial idea.
He tells this story about Charles Steinmetz, brilliant engineer at General Electric.
Okay.
But he was struggling in a leadership role. So instead of firing him, they created a new position for him.
Oh, wow. So they found a way to address the issue without embarrassing him.
Exactly. It shows that you can achieve your goals without putting others down.
It's about finding solutions that work for everyone.
Right. And it makes me think about so many of Carnegie's stories,
Yeah.
They all seem to emphasize appealing to people's better nature.
Like that story about John D. Rockefeller Jr. and the photographers.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of getting into a confrontation, he appealed to their sense of decency.
Exactly. He asked them to respect the privacy of his children.
And it worked. He got what he wanted without creating a scene.
Carnegie also believed in, dramatizing your ideas to
Okay.
make them more impactful. He tells this story about a salesman.
Yeah. This guy, to illustrate a point about lost revenue, he throws a handful of pennies on the floor.
Talk about a visual.
Right. It's about finding creative ways to get your message across.
So it's not just what you say, but how you say it.
Exactly. Effective communication. It's not just logic and facts. It's about connecting emotionally.
So how do we bring all this together?
Well, that leads us to one of his most powerful principles.
Okay, I'm ready.
It's the idea of making the other person happy.
Happy.
Happy about doing the thing you suggest.
All right, now that sounds like a superpower, but how do you actually do that?
Well, while Carnegie suggests showing genuine interest in their needs and desires, highlighting the benefits they'll receive,
okay,
and making them feel like they're part of the decision.
So it's not about manipulation. It's about building real relationships.
Exactly.
Collaboration, not coercion.
Right.
I got to say, all these principles, they're amazing, but also a little daunting.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming.
Like, where do we even start?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we've covered a lot with Carnegie, right?
Oh, yeah.
Understanding people.
Mm-hmm.
Those persuasion tactics.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
I feel like my brain's full.
It can feel a bit overwhelming.
So how do we actually put all this wisdom to work in our lives?
Well, the good news is Carnegie doesn't just give us theories.
Right.
He gives us practical steps to make it actionable.
Okay, that's what we need.
It all starts with a genuine desire to improve our relationship.
Right.
To improve our influence.
So it's not about tricks.
No.
It's about putting in the effort.
Exactly. And being willing to, you know, change ourselves first.
He was all about understanding others.
Oh, yeah.
Respecting them.
That's the foundation for real influence.
So where do we begin?
He suggests starting small.
Okay.
One principle at a time.
Didn't he have a whole plan in the book?
Yeah, he did.
For how to really get the most out of it.
He recommends reading each chapter twice.
Twice.
Yeah, really absorb it and then ask yourself,
okay,
how can I use this in my life?
I like that. He also talked about keeping track of your successes.
Oh, yeah, like a journal.
To see how you're doing.
Of positive interactions.
Stay motivated. It's a good idea. You know, one of the biggest things for me is that idea of making people feel important.
Oh, it's so crucial.
It seems obvious, but I think we forget.
We do in the everyday rush.
We forget to do it. Everyone wants that recognition,
yeah,
that appreciation.
But it's a basic human need.
I love that story about the kid who was struggling in school.
Oh, yeah.
Until his dad started praising him.
Yeah.
Making learning fun.
It's amazing what a little encouragement can do.
And being specific, right?
Oh, yeah.
With your praise, not just empty flattery.
Carnegie, he had some great advice for giving feedback, too.
Oh, yeah. Like when you need to point out a problem.
Yeah.
How do you do that without crushing someone?
He says, make the fault seem easy to correct.
Okay.
Focus on the positive.
So like, hey, you're doing great with this. I know you can do even better if you try this.
Yeah, exactly. It's about helping them grow.
Not making them feel bad.
Right. And then there's that whole idea of arousing enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just about telling someone to do something. It's about getting them fired up about it.
Inspiring them. Didn't he talk about leading by example?
Oh, yeah. Challenging people. Appealing to those nobler motives.
It all comes back to, like, shifting your perspective.
Yeah.
Focusing on what they need.
Understanding human nature.
Working with it.
Yeah.
Not against it.
Exactly.
So we're wrapping up our deep dive here.
Mm.
What's the one thing you want our listeners to remember?
I'd say remember, Carnegie's principles work because they tap into that human need.
To be understood.
Yeah, be appreciated.
Respected. As you go through your day, think about how you could apply just one of these ideas.
You don't have to do everything at once.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be some big dramatic thing.
Sometimes the smallest things make the biggest difference.
Remembering a name. A genuine compliment.
Just that conscious effort to be more mindful.
More empathetic.
Yeah, more focused on others.
So think about one person you interact with regularly.
Yeah.
Could be a coworker, friend, family. How could you use one of these principles to improve that relationship?
Just give it a try.
See what happens. You might be amazed.
That's the beauty of Carnegie's work. Timeless, they work.
And that's a wrap for today's deep dive into how to win friends and influence people.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed it and that you'll take these ideas and put them into practice.
And until next time,
keep learning, keep growing.